This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. To be accurate, 104.1 FM KMOX. So, long time coming. This is a really, really big deal to us. Thank you to Jason. First one in says, happy 104.1 day. So this is a very big deal for us. You know what? It's the first day of the rest of our lives.
Wow.
I mean, kind of.
I just made that up.
That's deep, man.
Yeah. It just hit me.
Man, you just hit me.
Right in the feels.
Should I hit Andrew?
Yes, please. We can solve so many problems right now.
No.
I have to go to HR for hurting your feelings.
Oh.
You go to HR for busting his jaw.
Yeah.
Kevin handles his feelings differently.
I say, I have feelings? Man.
So hopefully you got to hear Chris and Amy at their new time slot, 9 to noon. And I was just listening to the Gas House Gang that has a different feel with Ranji in there and Ackerman, and then Klaibs joined them at the end. I think that's going to be great. We do our normal stuff, normal shenanigans from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. And tonight we're going to cut out a little bit early because there's a big KMOX party for the 104.1 rollout with a bunch of clients and muckety muck. So we're going to be heading to that. All but one of us.
Yeah.
The little boy Kevin Wheeler has to stay back and do his new show.
Somebody's got to do some Cardinals baseball talk,
man.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Looking forward to that, man. So that'll be 5 to 6 every day, the Redbird Rush Hour. So that'll be me and Matt Pauly every day. But Matt will be in and out sometimes, when he's at the ballpark, if he has to talk to Ali or do whatever. There may be some times where there's a segment here and there he's not there. But mostly it's the two of us. Bernie will join us a couple times a week. And we'll mix in some other things, too. Like today, for example, Matt's calling the game on KMOX from Memphis with Benji Molina. So we may have Benji pop in today just for a few minutes. So it's going to be the same format you're used to. Traffic and weather, as it always has been, that's not changing. We know what a big deal that is.
Yeah.
But then you're just going to get Cardinals talk in the lead up to the pregame. And obviously, more Cardinals is good.
Nice. Bethany James says it's her birthday on the Big FM day. So
HBD.
Happy birthday to Bethany.
Happy birthday, Bethany.
Yeah. And our girl Janelle saying sorry to the whole crew regarding Brian McKenna. Just crazy.
What a thing to wake up to.
Yeah.
The other day.
It really, 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 really was. Probably the closest person to me I've had pass away besides Burton, whose last name wasn't Glover.
Right.
And with Brian, everyone who knew him even a little bit understood that he was like a superhero, right? Like, I was talking to Trish over the weekend about it, and she said everyone thought they were Brian's best friend.
I mean, that's how he treated you.
But not in a manipulative way.
Right.
He just treated everyone so great that everyone thought they were Brian's best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can go back to when I first moved to town, right? I just got here in late season 2006. And, you know, he was doing sports show, you know, daily at the time. And he didn't know me. I didn't know him. But the first time we ran into each other, he was just like, welcome to St. Louis, man. We may be competitors, but, you know, hey, I got this charity thing. Why don't you come out and we can hang out? Just from the word go, always that way.
Yeah.
Just the coolest guy. always doing good work for
for
first responders, police officers, always doing something for other people.
Yes.
Yeah, and I kept seeing on social media this weekend just other people in radio and television posting like the last 10 times Ryan came on our program was to promote a charity.
Yes. Yeah, that was
because
Frank.
That's what he did. Yeah.
That was Frank Cusimano,
I mean, just an amazing person and just unbelievable that he's gone.
Yeah. He and I had grown even closer lately. When my mom was sick, I don't think there's a single person in my life who texted me more. Wow. I mean, I think he texted me half a dozen times a day.
Mm.
Yeah. And then he was always on the stream, you know, like since we put the stream up, he was always on there saying something intelligent, which I would come back with, put your shirt on, which he loved.
I was going to say, I think he liked that. It's a compliment.
And what I mean, if you haven't heard, Brian famously, you know, it's almost like you need to turn his apartment into like a museum or something, lived right on Francis Park, correct, Rach? Because you're down in that general area as well. And he was just such a known commodity and, you know, always going out to his favorite haunts. And there's no good way to die. But I had to sort of chuckle over the weekend. This is so Brian running across the street at 1 a.m. to get home. It's like, it's Brian. It's just tragic what happened, but him doing it is no surprise.
Right.
Like I can visualize it. I can just see him having a great time out with his pals, finished his last drink, walking home, you know, just life.
Mm.
You just never know where life's going to take
just
you.
And after what he fought through, too.
Yeah.
Just the worst.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
No easy way for that either, you know? I mean, I think it felt like, you know, look, a lot of we've lost a lot of personalities in St. Louis, in the sports communities, you know, in recent years. They're usually older ball players, things along those lines. But you just look around at how many people commented, how many people had Brian stories, how many people from Rennie Knott to Frank Cusimano, like literally everybody in town. And the people I follow are largely the sports people. But it's beyond that, too. I mean, just you're an example of that. It's beyond just the radio community, because I saw comments from people that, you know, on Facebook, just as an example, that only knew him through some of the charitable work that he's done. But everybody's story is kind of the same.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, he's the guy that made you laugh. He's the guy that got things done. He's the guy that was, you know, kind of the voice of the people when he was doing his radio
show. Kind of the unofficial mayor of St. Louis.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this, I don't know. I don't know where they're going to be able to hold his funeral.
Man.
It's going to be packed.
Yeah.
Just packed. You know, they should probably rent out a hall, you know, some big place.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
So. Yeah. I didn't know what to do with my hands all weekend.
No. I woke up to your guys' text. That's the first I had heard of it. And I just sat there like I read it three times, the string, the message from you guys, trying to make sure that I was understanding what you were saying. Because at first I'm like, there's no, I mean, what do you, no.
Yes.
I'm reading this wrong.
Yes. Yeah. No. I mean, what a life. He went through a lot. He accomplished a lot. He went through a lot of hardships. He's a big family.
Mm-hmm.
Left behind. So. All the best to the McKinnons.
But no, I don't know many people that impact more people.
No.
He impacted a lot of people in a good way.
Yes. 100%. Amy is asking if the Redbird Rush Hour will be year-round or what happens when there's no baseball.
Well, during the baseball season, it's not changing.
Right.
That's going to be there every day, whether there's a game or not. The only way it won't be there, for example, is if there's an East Coast game. Because then we'll be in the Cardinals Network pregame show by that time. Or if there's like on opening day, that show won't be there because the game is going to start and run over that. But on any day where there's no, you know, where it's not conflicting with a Cardinals specific broadcast, that'll be there. I don't know beyond the season, mostly because I don't think any of us have thought that far ahead yet.
We're not planners.
But I would hope that it's just going to stick in some form or another. Mostly because Matt and I just like doing stuff together.
Yeah.
So. It'll be fun either way. Just be an extension of Sports Open Line
in
that
clearly,
way.
And clearly, St. Louis has a taste for Cardinal baseball year-round.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's no off-season.
Yeah.
There's no off-season for Cardinals. No. And there's always stuff to talk about. There's always people to talk to. You know, when you think about the potential off-season, it can be more instead of news and here's what's happening and, you know, what's the Cardinals made their opening day, you know, lineup or made the opening day roster.
Yeah.
It'll be then maybe let's bring in some people to tell stories.
Yeah.
You know, we got a lot of great Cardinals alums that live in town. We've got, you know, access to everybody through the team. We have a lot of ways to talk ball throughout the year that can be different than just lineup talk or in-season game-by-game stuff.
Well, now you guys know what I've known for a couple of weeks. They pulled me in a little bit early. It's really funny. One of the best lines ever. They pulled me in a couple, 3 weeks ago and made me sign an NDA and then told me a bunch of stuff.
Dave's like, what are you going to tell me?
She's, oh, yeah, you know me. I mean, what the worst thing you can say to me is, hey, come see me later. Because I know I'm getting fired. And one day Steve said, hey, can you come by at the top of your next break? Oh, great.
He's like, something's wrong.
So I go in there, and he's got an NDA, and he's like, I need you to sign this, and then come back at 5. I'm like, no, I'm not. I quit. Like,
you can't make me do that.
Clearly getting fired.
Yeah.
And so I come back, and they tell me this stuff. But the great line was, Beth, who runs the newsroom, our news director, she and I went to breakfast about a week ago, and you know, I'm feeling kind of special because they brought me in. And I said to her, did they make you sign an NDA? And she goes, no, they trust me. It's the most Beth thing ever.
I mean, that's,
And it was funny, but it was true. I'm like,
direct
well,
to the point.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
But anyway, we had a couple of people push back on the stream when we announced this last week, saying, oh, if the station goes too much sports or the DGS goes too much sports, I'm not going to enjoy it. I think this is the perfect way to transition. I don't know of any plan that KMOX is ever going to be all sports. I mean, it's news, it's talk, it's sports, it's Cardinals. But having an hour in the middle of the day and then having an hour pregame or pre-Sports Open Line, I think is genius. I think that's the perfect way to do it. Here on the DGS, we will probably have a few more sports topics and sports guests, but nothing that you would have noticed. Does that make sense?
Well, probably nothing different than the last few years that
no,
I can recall,
not really.
Right? I mean,
no.
We've had Ricky twice a week for the last few years. You and I have always brought stuff in. Tom pops in, Matt pops in. I mean, it's not going to change that much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gina, talking about Brian, says he was a friend to all and made everyone feel important. The grief is deep. Yeah. So, shout out to our pal. /122 DGS on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Baby.
Wow, I didn't know.
I gotta go a little.
It was me.
That's a flashback from like when I was a kid in Detroit. There was a guy named Arthur Penhollow who had the voice of God.
Yeah.
And it was on the rock station. He'd be like, WRIF, baby. And he would do it like big as awesome.
I'll be honest with you. I honestly thought it was the schizoid diagnosis hitting me all of a sudden.
Dave's like, I'm hearing voices.
I was like, well, there it is. There it is.
Unfortunate day for that to happen.
I want to say one more thing about Brian, and it's sort of about grief in general. And as you guys know, lost my mom last summer, and you guys went through that with me, and been doing this hospice volunteer work and the No One Dies Alone stuff. And so grief has been a much bigger part of my world than it has in the past. And something that I've realized, I want to run it by you guys, that I think most people would agree that grief, it comes in waves. You're not always despondent. You're not always crying. It comes in waves. And it struck me that the reason for that is that you can only grasp it intermittently. Like if you were to really grasp the totality of losing someone, a parent, a friend, God forbid, a child, you couldn't function. And so I think that the mind protects itself and the nervous system protects itself, and you're just going along and hit a couple of spots of turbulence, and then you really get into the stew pot because your head and your heart just happened to grasp it at that moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I even had that with Brian over the weekend because it's such a weird ass thing to hear.
Yeah.
No one expects to hear that their 61-year-old pal got hit by a car. You just don't expect to hear that.
Mm-mm.
And so I was having a normal weekend. And I'm eating Whoppers, and I'm watching the pit, and then it would hit me, and you're just, like, you just put the Whoppers down. You're like, oh, God, my friend's gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Just crazy.
Yeah. That's a good point about the brain being its own little, working its own little defense mechanism.
Yeah.
Because it would, those kinds of things would be overwhelming if it was just all there.
Yeah, every
once.
Time someone's parents died, they would just be in a home or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Although there are certain things that, I mean, I haven't experienced it, but I've seen it, like the loss of a kid, where it is kind of overwhelming, and people do kind of end up in a bit of a shell for a while because you can't get through it.
I don't think he would mind me saying this, but my really good friend Scott, who I did Fox Paul with, he lost his daughter to ovarian cancer on her 25th birthday. Yeah. Talk about rough. And they were super, super tight. And when I take Phoebe to Colorado, that's where Scott would take Kimber.
Mm.
And they would go up on the mountain, and they would just spend the whole day.
Yeah.
Like, they'd take the gondola up, and they would just hang out. And the first few months after losing Kim, he was staying out in Colorado, and he would take the first gondola up and the last gondola down.
Oh, yeah.
Just by himself the whole day.
Yeah.
Watch the sun come up, watch the sun go down. Just out of grief. Just wanted to be close to her.
You also just don't know what else to do, I would guess. I mean, again, haven't done that, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I had a close friend that lost his year-old son when they were on vacation. Just died of heat exhaustion, dehydration, went to the hospital. Hospital sent them home.
Oh,
and on the way home from the hospital, the kid passed away. And you know, my buddy is one of my best friends from high school. Just for a while, you don't know how to talk.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't know what they need.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Really strange.
Yes. Yeah. I thankfully haven't been in too many of those situations, but sometimes Steve, our boss, lost his son. And I remember walking up to him at the wake and Steve just saying no words.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Yeah. I think I said something similar to
you. Yeah.
Like, I don't,
yeah.
Nothing.
And if you're just tuning in, you're wondering what we're talking about. Our good pal Brian McKenna passed away over the weekend. He was hit by a car on Hampton as he was crossing over, heading to his apartment over in Francis Park. And we're just kind of, you know, giving him a tribute and loving him, missing him.
I mean, he was a big deal, man.
Larger than life.
Absolutely. I mean, he was a big deal here. You know, everybody knew him. And I, again, everybody loved being around him. He deserves that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Evidently he called himself the most famous, unfamous person in St. Louis.
Except that he wasn't unfamous.
No.
Because everybody, if you mention his name, I was like, I know Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Either they listened to him on the radio or they saw him at an event or they met him.
Brian had a fine career, but I always thought it should have been bigger.
Yeah.
He was just, I don't know. He had the whole package.
Mm-hmm.
So. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 133. As we're going to keep telling you, we went to 104.1 FM sometime last night, midnight-ish, somewhere around there. I was asking the engineers, was there like a big cartoonish switch you pull?
Go out to the antenna?
Yeah. And they said, no, it's all computers, but they said they thought about rigging one up so that we could do that.
Kind of like the big fancy charity check?
Yeah.
Like just make it fun? Yeah.
That would have been fun. You ever think about... So I was watching a little bit of the Astronauts Return.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, people were saying it was CGI.
Oh, sure.
It's what we do now. But do you think, like, the young Earthers ever just go, I'm so stupid? Like to themselves.
You mean the flats?
Yeah.
The
what did I say? Young?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, flats. The flats. It reminds me... I don't know if you knew this one, Wheels. Probably, so Phoebe was probably about 10. So about 10 years ago, we were watching Elf, and there's a narwhal.
Yeah.
Which is a sea animal.
Yeah.
That looks like a whale with a big unicorn horn on it.
Yep.
And Phoebe said, man, I would love it if I could see a narwhal one of these days. And I'm like, baby, narwhals aren't real. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, they're made up. They're like, you know, unicorns and things. And she goes, no, Dad, they're real. We studied it in class. And I said, honey, I'm going to do you a big favor because I don't want you getting made fun of by your classmates. They're not real. And so we Googled it, and I'll be a son of a bitch. There were the narwhals.
Yep.
I was a grown man and didn't know that that was a real creature.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not real common.
Can never be too sure.
Well,
you always have to keep one foot on first base.
I don't know. I feel like if you believe the earth is flat, there's just something in you that's telling you, like, no, you know better than everybody else. Do you need to have qualifications for this? No, but you just know in your gut and in your heart of hearts that you know better.
Yeah.
And that's a really difficult thing to overcome. Like, if you believe in yourself to that extent,
yeah.
Like, I really don't know how you convince someone
if your identity
that
is caught
earth
up.
Is round.
That, you know, that really is it. Whether it's politics or narwhals or flat earth, if your identity... If your self-worth is tied up in a thought or a belief, you're on thin ice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think.
But think about it from your end. You were convinced that it wasn't exist, but as soon as you were presented evidence
a good point.
That it existed, you went, oh.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
not only was I wrong, I was shocked. And I was immediately 10 years old. I'm like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, there's a whale with a unicorn.
Like, I have still never... ever once heard a flat earther explain what the point would be of everyone making that up.
Yeah.
What do you gain?
Yeah.
Why would, and literally every person in the world that knows physics and science would have to be in on the lie.
Yeah.
Why? What do they get out of it?
Just giggling behind your back.
Right. Like, what's the point? And they'll be like, it's about control, man. What are they controlling?
Yeah.
What are they controlling with that information? It's a big globe. We know it, man. We've been to outer space. We got pictures. I think they should. I think one of these rich guys with a space shuttle should be taking flat earthers up and flying them around the globe.
Hey, speaking of, let's talk about the pyramids. tell the story how that came out.
All right. So... first of all, for about 5 minutes, I fell for this because I'm curious about this stuff, and I thought it was fascinating. So last week, there's this big buzz, right? It's on Twitter, definitely on TikTok. There are videos there. I'm sure it's on other social media. But that these two scientists, these Italian scientists, they used some special underground scanning. It's a real thing that was pointed out, that they found these massive underground structures below all of the pyramids in Giza that reached 2,000 feet below the ground. There were these big eight huge cylinders, and they looked like they had like almost walkways going around them, and they emptied into this huge 80-meter-wide chambers and all this. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty fascinating. And I start searching it because, you know, I'm going to make sure. And I'm like, oh. And Andrew was in there with me while we're doing it, and he's like, yeah, I don't see a real news place with this. I'm like, nope, you're right, you're not. Like, the closest thing is, like, all the tabloids, right? Like, that's all that has it. And then it turns out it's based on, like, three-year-old stuff from these two guys that are basically just nuts. Like, one guy, and again, not to knock anybody that does this, but, you know, when the sources of this kind of thing are people that have been involved in investigating abductions, alien abductions, and the other one is into, what was it? The other guy is into some other big conspiracy, and I can't remember what it is. You start to go, okay, that's fine, but, we're, you know, like the scientific. And then the people that were doing this, that studied this story that was catching up, they ran all the images through an AI detector, and basically all of it was made by AI. Like, none of this scanning was real. None of it was. And number one, I was mad that I fell for it for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then number two, I'm like, but why are we so quick to do it? Because I fell for it, but I also then started looking it up because I wasn't going to be like, wow, these people I've never heard of on social media are telling you this. It must be true.
I didn't hear the AI part. I was hook, line, and sinker myself. And what I thought happened until you just said that was that these guys who were real guys.
They are real guys.
Did a real study.
They did in 2022.
Using real sonar.
They did.
And but then in a scientific paper, there comes a point where it says like conclusions and
right.
whatever.
Right.
And that's where they kind of went off the goofy crap of me.
That's right.
But I saw a lot of real archaeologists say, we're still really intrigued by this. They just got over their skis.
Exactly.
I didn't hear the AI thing.
Yeah. Well, that's just for the imagery. That like when you see the videos that are online.
Yeah.
Like TikTok people are walking through these videos, these graphic breakdowns of what it looks like below the pyramids. That was all done with AI.
Well, I was excited for a minute.
Well, yeah, because it's a cool story and we don't know what's down there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not allowed to just go dig there, right? I mean, you know, Egypt decides who gets to do those things and who doesn't and who gets access and who doesn't.
What if it's Bigfoot and he's just giggling?
Dude, what if there are a bunch of big feet down there?
Yeah, just down there.
And going, he wised up fast, but I was
in because it sounds fun.
He was losing his mind.
And then I was like, because, you know, Andrew's like, and we were both searching it at the same time. He's like, I don't see anything like looks like normal. And I'm like, yeah, me neither. Dang
it. Yeah, it's like every article is from like Morbi News.
Right, right. They're all like,
this doesn't sound real.
There's not a single news publication in the world picking this up.
Speaking of the internet and medicine, I don't know if you saw this, but I tend to consume quite a lot of what I thought. Now, I didn't think they were all doctors, but, you know, having mental health issues the way I do, I'll watch everything on ADD or ADHD or OCD or whatever letters I think I have that day. And someone did a study, actual psychologist and psychiatrist, and said less than 1% of the top 100 TikTokers with the most views on ADHD, they just picked that one, less than 1% was accurate. So they're just kind of spitballing, which can help. I think, like, for example, what I do, I'm not a doctor, I'm not an expert, but when I come on my show and say, hey, here's some of the things I've felt, and, you know, just I want to normalize that for anyone out there who's feeling this, or maybe even mm-hmm. give you some advice. That's cool. But I guess these people were like, and here are the top 10 signs of blah, blah, blah. And they were just wrong. So yeah. Just be careful.
And it's also about how you position things, right? You know, if you're positioning it like you do, hey, we're normal people and normal experiences and we're exchanging ideas. And what have I dealt with and what have you dealt with? That's one thing. But there are people on there that are positioning it like, I know exactly what I'm talking about and I'm going to lead you down the right path.
Or how many people have self-diagnosed and then they become the experts and are educating other people? It's like you don't even have a diagnosis from an actual doctor for yourself. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it so easy to do, though? Like you just see, I don't see posts because I'm not on social media proper, but I can imagine just from seeing TikToks that if you see an especially impressive post, you just kind of go like, oh, well, that's a fact of my life now.
Oh, no. When you see, there are definitely people that in their delivery will convince you that they're smart, right? I mean, and I don't know if you fall for it, but because that's not the right term, but you're like, man, they really have a good way of putting things. And then you do a quick look and like, oh, damn it. Yeah. That just sounded good. It wasn't real. Something never comes,
never leads to nothing. 147 DGS. This is weird doing the first hour without Amy and Chris.
It is.
Feels like it's the 2 p.m. I keep wanting to do Razor's Edge.
It's like the show
not
is halfway
yet.
Over.
Not there yet. So coming up on opening day, which I am ridiculously excited for, Wheels and I are going to be broadcasting from noon to 1:30 at Cardinals Nation for Kegs and Eggs. Rach just let me know that there are 6 standing room only tickets left. So if you want to go to Kegs and Eggs, you need to go to KMOX.com right now and buy those tickets. There are more tickets available in the morning when Tom Ackerman is going to be interviewing Vince Coleman. There's a buffet. There's bottomless mimosas and Bloody Marys and Anheuser-Busch and really cool kind of beer stein things that say 104.1 KMOX. You can use KMOX as your promo code and save 20% on those tickets. So the Angels are banning smartphones in the clubhouse.
Yeah, so it's been talked about quite a bit in the baseball world because this is You know, this is a bunch of grown men who are at work, and you're telling them that they're not supposed to have their cell phones at their lockers. So, I mean, that's the clubhouse.
They're supposed to, like, leave them in their cars?
I think it's something like that, or they're left outside the room or something along those lines. So it's been reported a bunch of different ways. Like, Ron Washington is their manager. He's super old school. Obviously, he's 72, so he's very old school in how he approaches the game. He's awesome, by the way. I don't know if you ever heard him speak. He's funny, and he's great, great, smart guy. But apparently with him and some of the veteran players like Mike Trout and Kyle Hendricks have been enforcing this rule that you'll get fined $500 if you're caught with your phone in the clubhouse. And a lot of there's a lot of reaction to it in a couple of different directions. Like, there's a lot of people like, yeah, they need to get back. These guys all need to get back to focusing on their jobs and not being on their phones and playing games and listening to music. But then, as I heard a couple of former players put it, you think that matters for the Dodgers? You think they win or lose games based on this? Do you think the Yankees win or lose games based on having a cell phone or not having a cell phone in their locker room? Like, to me, it's a lot of eyewash. Mm. It sounds good. People are like, yeah, you tell those young kids to focus. The problem isn't that. The problem is the Angels don't have any good players. They don't have enough good players. You can enforce this rule all you want. It's not going to make you any better. And I think that's been the most widely held opinion that I've heard from baseball people, from former coaches, front office people, retired players, even some current players. Like, man, that's not, I don't know. I think you try what you can try, I guess, right? When you're the manager of the Angels, you know what you have, so you know what your guys are probably going to be good at and what they're not. And they do have a fair number of young players that they're trying to kind of bring in and groom to be impact players. But I don't know, how does that hit you guys?
Any idea
in any workplace?
What most teams do? Like, I've never seen a phone in the dugout.
You can't have them in the dugout. Technology is banned in the dugout. You cannot have that during games. It would be really frowned upon if it was even in your pocket during batting practice.
Okay.
Like, that stuff is not supposed to be out on the field.
So leave it in your locker.
It's in the clubhouse, and that's where it stays.
Okay.
I'm sure some guys may bring it to the batting cages in the indoor ones.
Yeah.
Maybe if they are listening to music while they're doing stuff like that, because a lot of guys will put headphones on while they're hitting and have their music playing off their phone. So, like, that's not unusual, but when you're on the field, that stuff goes away. That's a rule. But think about it this way. These guys are at the ballpark from about 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon until midnight on a 7 o'clock day, 7 o'clock game. You're telling me that grown men with families and kids and friends and a life outside that room aren't ever supposed to be on their phones in the clubhouse? Ever texting, emailing, listening to music, ever? These are grown men, and that's why I wanted to bring it up, because this isn't a high school team. These aren't 17-year-olds with no real responsibility in the world. These are grown men at work. Could you imagine if we had a rule here in the building, you can't have your cell phone in the studio and you can't check it during commercial breaks?
Well, to be fair, there are plenty of big boy and girl jobs where you can't have your cell phone. I don't think that's the end-all be-all argument that they're adults, because there are plenty of adults that can't have their cell phone on the floor at work.
Well, depending on what they're doing, right?
Right, right.
I mean, like, you can't have it while you're doing your job, but when you're on a break, nobody's going to tell you you're a grown person. And, like, if I'm waiting tables and I have a 20-minute break, they're not going to be like, you cannot look at your cell phone. You should be focused only on serving food while you're here.
Right.
I mean, I think that's the point. Like, on the air, it's a little tougher to be, like, texting. But sometimes I might be getting breaking news, and I am on my phone during a segment, because sometimes that's happening.
Yeah, I get no breaking news.
Yeah,
I get breaking news from you. I see it both ways. I'm trying to think when I don't have my phone, and the only times I don't have my phone or ever look at it is when I'm sitting vigil for hospice, because that's sacred. And if I am being interviewed, like I just did the Mostly Superheroes, by the way, can we post a link for that? Can you figure that out?
Yeah, we got it up on Friday.
Okay.
Perfect. Everyone can find it on Facebook.
When I'm on someone else's time, if that makes sense, I'm not going to look at my phone.
Yeah.
But like, mine's open here for the same reason. Like, Phoebe might need me, or Andrew more likely might need to tell me something.
Sometimes we have to communicate with each other, and you can't use words when you're live on the radio.
I also like Donald Trump takes a ton of crap for playing golf. I don't like Donald Trump. So I kind of want to jump on the bandwagon. But to be intellectually honest, which I try to be, and to be consistent, I said I didn't care how much Barack Obama smoked when he was getting in trouble for smoking by Michelle, or how much golf any president plays, because that's a really difficult job and they're never really off work. So if you need something, you need a whoopee. You take your whoopee.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would feel the same way about the baseball players. Keep it out of the dugout. But,
yeah,
but
yeah.
If you need it in the clubhouse and just to pass the time, I'm okay with that.
I'm just interested in what led to this action being taken. Like, did the players actually do something? Are they actually, like, not making connections with each other and communicating about team stuff because they're too buried in their phones? I think that's a fair question.
That's what
ask.
The older players are saying, and that's what, like, but older players, guys in their 30s.
Right.
Right. But, like, that was the belief. So the way that some of these guys have put it is, in fact, it was Mike Trout saying that the young guys are, quote, interacting more. I'm really fascinated by this because there's a time where it's too much, but they spend a lot of time in the clubhouse every day.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of time. And you're not always just, like, talking to someone else. You're not always like, hey, let's talk about what's coming up later today. Or, like, sometimes you're just killing 20 minutes.
How do I hit a curveball?
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that this is going to matter at all in the outcome of their games. And if it doesn't, then what's the point of the rule?